53 in your Bibles, please. Our focus in this service will be on the cross, the suffering of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We will conclude with the Lord's Supper. And just by way of information, our church practices open communion, or well, close communion, I guess it's called. But in other words, you don't have to be a member of the church to participate in the Lord's Supper with us. The only requirement is that you are saved by faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So you look at some verses here, some scriptures, and consider the crucifixion, what Jesus Christ endured for us. We will then have a few moments of just quiet personal prayer, and then we will partake of the elements and be closed with number 62, Calvary Covers It All, and then be dismissed for our brunch. Isaiah chapter 53, beginning in verse 1, he says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Unbelief is the one obstacle that keeps a lost sinner from receiving the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We're all sinners, but the one thing that keeps people away is unbelief. "Who hath believed our report?" he says. The mystery of godliness is a stumbling block to so many people. They just cannot overcome that. And that's, as he goes on here, verse 2, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground." I see in that the virgin birth, the root out of a dry ground, and the tender plant that God became a man and walked this earth with all the frailties and the problems of humanity, starting out as a weakless, helpless baby in that manger, that root out of a dry ground. Just amazing when you consider the mystery of godliness, that God, the Holy, the infinite, the pure, the righteous God became a man, born of a virgin, grew up, living a sinless life. He goes on and says, "There is no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." There was nothing physically that caused Jesus Christ to stand out in a crowd. Nothing about his appearance. He wasn't the most handsome man that ever walked on the face of the earth. There wasn't a glow about him everywhere he went. The only time that appeared was in Matthew 27 when he appeared at the Mount of Transfiguration and was changed and glorified before Peter, James, and John. The rest of the time, he was just a man. Walked among us. Lived a life, a sinless life. God in the flesh. He was mocked, ridiculed, hated, and dismissed for his claim. No form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. I want to read down through the rest of the chapter now before I make any more comments. But think about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the things that he endured for us. He says in verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he will divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Verse 4 again, he says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. As Jesus Christ went to that cross and all that he endured leading up to that, enduring that, and thereafter, as his soul went to hell to pay the full price for our sins while his body remained in the grave, it wasn't just for sins. It says he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. You see, the curse that fell upon man because of Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden was far more than just a sin nature that caused us to rebel against God. He said to Eve that in sorrow, you're going to multiply children. There's pain, there's grief. And he bore all of that upon himself on the cross. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. This is where I want you to think right now as we prepare for the Lord's table. What he bore on that cross, he bore for you and I. Wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we're healed. Go back to Isaiah chapter 50. We think about all that Jesus Christ endured for us, for our salvation. Here in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6, it says, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. As he was taken to Pilate, and then Pilate then turned him over to the crowd, he was whipped with the cat of nine tails. Had chunks of bone and glass and things tied into the leather, so that when they struck him, it would just grab the flesh and rip it from his body. What he endured exposed his organs. He was just a mess. And on top of that, ripping the beard from his face. Look at chapter 52 of Isaiah, verse 14. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Just a trembling piece of raw flesh as he was led to that cross. Go to Psalm chapter 22. Psalm chapter 22. We could read the whole psalm, but I just want to look at a few verses here, a few passages here. Start in verse 1. This is a psalm that pictured the crucifixion, just as Isaiah 53 did. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? You recognize that as what he cried on the cross as the darkness descended upon him there. Verse 2, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not in a night season, and I'm not silent. Verse 6, but I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. If you remember, they said, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Verse 12. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion, as the crowd stood around the cross and mocked him and taunted and derided him. I am poured out like water, verse 14. And all my bones are out of joint. That was a consequence of hanging for hours on the cross like that. Eventually, the tension just causes all the bones to come out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. When they pierced his side, it says water and blood came out. The trauma that he experienced caused that. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. The thirst that he endured. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. And may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They parted my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. I want you to go over now to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 2. And when they bound him, this is after the arrest in the garden, when they bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. You see, we should go to Luke chapter 22 first. Luke chapter 22. Then we'll come back to Matthew 27. Luke 22, verse 63. Luke 22, 63, and the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And the other things blasphemy spake they against him. Can you just picture this in your mind? He's been arrested. He's been pulled before the high priest, and they put a blindfold on him, and they allow him just to start beating him. And the mocking, you know, hey, you're God? Who hit you? But I think about that, and I think of the idea that, and of course he is God, and he knows who's doing it, but in a physical sense, he is barred from seeing who's doing that. You know who's doing that? You and I. Each and every one of us is as guilty as all the people that were took apart in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we're healed. That's why he did that. That's why he allowed that. He wasn't taken. He gave himself. At any moment in time, he could have put a stop to it. He didn't. He chose not to. And that blindfolding of him, I think, is just a further picture of the fact that each and every one of us stood and struck him as he suffered that agony. Now go back to Matthew chapter 27, verse 2. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. So first he's before the religious leaders of the day. Then he's taken to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Drop down now to verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered under the whole band of soldiers. All these military people assembled around him there, turned over to him by the governor. It says verse 28, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his hand. They bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" With this mocking robe of, here you're a king, and here's your crown, that crown of thorns. Now watch this. Verse 30, and when they spit upon him and took the reed, they smote him on the head. That reed that they'd given him is a mock scepter. Then they take it away from him, and with the crown still on his head, they, bam, driving those thorns, piercing his scalp. And with each prick of the thorn into his head, piercing of those thorns, that was for your sin and mine. That blood was shed for you and I. And after they had mocked him, verse 31, and took this robe off from him, they put on his own raiment and led him away to crucify him. John chapter 19. John chapter 19 and verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took him and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. I don't think we can even fully grasp all the suffering that he endured leading up to the cross. The most excruciating form of execution ever devised by man is a crucifixion. But he suffered tremendously before he even got there. It says, verse 4, Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." He endures all of this leading up to the cross. As the beard has been ripped from his face, as his body has just been lacerated and shredded by the whipping that he's endured, and top, and then the crowns, the thorns have pierced through his scalp, and the blood just a bloody mess. And he parades him before the people. He says, "Behold the man. Take a look." And Christian, we need to take a look. Amen. And as we partake of these elements here, this represents, it's a reminder to us of what Jesus Christ endured on the cross for your sin and mine. One more passage of Scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. "For even on hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us." Don't forget that, church. He suffered for you and me, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin. So he took upon himself yours and mine. "Neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins and his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Isaiah 53 goes on and talks about he was cut off out of the land of the living. He made his grave with the wicked. He took upon himself, the sinless Son of God took upon himself your sin and mine. And in exchange, he gives to us his righteousness. So that the sinless Son of God became sin for us. So that I could be as pure and holy and righteous as he. Not because of anything I do, but because of what he did. That he took it all away. And in the place of that, he clothed each of us with his righteousness. The debt of sin was paid. And now we can stand before him as righteous as he is because of the debt of sin that he paid for each and every one of us. Let's take a few moments now and reflect and pray and prepare our hearts to partake of the elements.